And we're speaking now with Jim Woodward. He's our Idaho District 1 state senator. And Jim, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It's always great to talk with you and the listeners.
And you're in Boise as we speak. And in fact, the legislature kicked off just on Monday. And I know there's a lot to dig in with the issues that are likely to come up. I had a couple on my list, and then you can tell me about the ones that you identify as big issues that are going to be coming up, particularly those you think affect our your constituents up here in northern Idaho. But Idaho is facing a big budget shortfall. The current fiscal year right now is projected, according to the Idaho Capital Sun, to end with a budget deficit of 40 million. But for next fiscal year, and which is the one you guys are primarily going to be budgeting for, state officials are saying that Idaho might be needing to come up with as much as 600 million to $1 billion because of the deficit. And I know the governor's already put forward plans to balance the state budget. Why don't you tell us where the legislature's at this, with the legislature just starting, and where you think it might come in and where you yourself come in on how we're going to balance the budget.
Okay, thanks, Chris. We did just have our first meeting this morning of the Joint Finance and Appropriations Committee. So that's the House Appropriations and the Senate Finance Committee that meet together. We've been doing that for over 50 years now. And we come up with that plan for the budget. We start out as the base point with the governor's proposed budget. The governor and his staff have done an excellent job again this year. We have this tougher situation because we cut taxes 5 times in the last 8 years. I voted yes on a few of those tax cuts, but I voted no on this tax cut last year, and it's turning out it is hurting us, it's creating a tough situation. So, but as I said, the governor's staff came through with a great starting point for a budget, and the 2026 budget cycle that we are in now, we are behind a little bit, about $40 million on 14 billion. And there will be a little bit more because there are always some supplemental requests that come in at the end of the year just to true up for actual population counts, whether in the schools or in the prisons or any other population-based program. So we'll get the 2026 budget trued up. And of course, part of the way that happened was that 3% holdback from this summer. So people have already seen that what the budget cut is like. And it's unfortunate that some of the programs that we do rely on, I mean, you look in the health and welfare system, the behavioral health programs that were affected by that. I hope we can figure out a way to try and restore some of that, but I don't know if that will be the majority thought in the pro as we go through the budget process. The 2027 budget, as you said, is a lot bigger number. And again, the governor's office came through with that proposal. And part of it is just going back and just doing tighter accounting. We have a budget stabilization fund, which is our rainy day savings account. We have a public education savings fund, another rainy day savings account. We have some of these big accounts, and agencies also have money just as in this part of the normal cash flow operations where you're always have account balances. And so we'll go across all of those balances through the state and bring that the interest that is being earned on those accounts, bring that in. There's about $95 million worth of interest earnings on accounts across the state. So that helps us. That's that first roughly $100 million in that $500 million shortfall. The next big piece of making that budget balance is really unfortunate. We have been able over the last few years to add roughly an extra $300 million. Last year it was $275 million into the transportation department budget, both for the state transportation department and for city and county agencies, transportation agencies. That money's gone for 2027. So 100 million plus the 275, and then just keep looking at some different components and get to that $500 million point where we can balance the budget for next year. But it does come with reductions. I think another in health and welfare, another $23 million reduction in the Idaho Digital Learning Alliance, which is a school online school program that a lot of students use. There will be a reduction in that program. So we'll get there, but it won't be pain-free. But it's a function of the decision made last year, that decision that I didn't support. So that, I guess that's kind of what I see as the picture. You'd mentioned that the deficit has been projected as 500 million or more. Part of that is the decision making that's coming up on whether our state tax policy conforms to the tax changes made in the One Big Beautiful Bill. We typically
Yes.
try to keep our state tax policy parallel to federal tax policy. So we have a decision there what is the cost of making the changes to our policy? What is that? How much reduced revenue do we have if we make our state tax policy the same as federal? And I think that number was early estimates were almost 300 million,
Yes, that's what
250 or 300
I saw
million.
those numbers. They're a big chunk. So if Idaho decides to conform to the different provisions of the big, beautiful bill, they need to come up with that extra money, as I understand it.
Correct. But and it looks as we look at it closer and closer and understand better all the details, the tax commission right now is telling us that it's roughly $155 million. So we can start to work with that, and that's part of that. Of course, the to where some people were talking about a one or $900 million deficit. That also include that to get to that number, you have to say that we're going to do another tax cut. I am hopeful. I do not believe that the body will support another tax cut, income tax cut. The one proposal that I got wind of yesterday was an income tax cut set with a trigger that it wouldn't go would not go into effect unless we met certain conditions. I don't believe I'll support that. I think we've cut as much as we need to, and we've cut a total of 2.1% in the income tax rate, going from 7.4% just back in 2017 to now 5.3%. We have cut $4 billion worth of revenue out of the state budget. At the same time, the population is increasing, and of course, inflation is present. So we've got to make sure we're meeting the responsibilities of the state, fundamental in those, Idaho State Patrol, police. Just physical safety, along with having a transportation system, we've got to have those components.
And education, of course. So
Yes.
as you mentioned, the legislature has been cutting taxes. I think over the past 5 years, there have been various tax reductions. Is that what's accounting for the much lower revenue alone, or is the business environment different so that we're just not seeing as much tax revenue to collect?
With the rate down, that's where that $4 billion number comes from, is we've cut the rate enough that we've taken $4 billion out of the revenue stream. It does, when I talk to people, this is anecdotal, that it does seem like maybe the economy is a little bit slower. But we did just get our new numbers yesterday, the Idaho General Fund Revenue Report, which tracks income tax, sales tax, and corporate income tax. And we're now back on track with our tax collection, income tax collections. The big piece in that was corporate income tax. What I understand may have been going on is that corporations were anticipating some of these tax breaks with the One Big Beautiful Bill, and so held back on some of their quarterly payments or monthly payments, and that money has now shown up. But I will say, I said we're back on track, but we changed the track. The state has reduced the revenue forecast from when we left. When we left last session, the revenue forecast was for $6.4 billion, and now the revenue forecast is clear down at 5.8. We're on track to meet that 5.8 or $5.9 billion, but we're well behind what we thought a year ago.
I'm going to segue from budget into healthcare questions, but a good segue is that the governor is not proposing to repeal Medicaid expansion, which some I know some legislators are in favor of, but he is proposing that Medicaid expenses be reduced by 45 million, with a 4% reduction in Medicaid provider rates, and then reducing services by an additional 22 million. I think you referred to that. First of all, how likely is that proposal to continue versus those legislators that want to repeal Medicaid expansion altogether?
Well, it is really tough here in just day one to see what the outcome will be. I'm probably pretty certain that there will be folks bringing forward a proposal to repeal Medicaid expansion, but I don't know. I don't. I doubt that repeal will make it. We'll see where we land in the middle, but it's really hard to predict sometimes. What the outcome of this is.
Well, enrollment in our Your Health Idaho insurance exchange, which is actually part of the Affordable Care Act, is pretty high. There are more than 120,000 Idahoans enrolled in plans on the state exchange. But as you know, with the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill by the Trump administration, a lot of people are going to see some significant increases in their premiums, so twice or more. And there are, well, the executive director of Your Health Idaho was projecting in December that some 20,000 Idahoans will end up canceling their coverage altogether because they just can't afford it. Is that, and now this is something that Congress may yet take up. There's a lot of talk about it in Congress of trying to restore the funding there federally, but is that something that the legislature is likely to deal with if Congress doesn't act? Are they going to try to do something to help the people that are seeing these huge insurance premium increases?
I really doubt that in Idaho we're in a place right now that you would see that effort, Chris.
Okay.
Just to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're looking for here is a prognostication on what might come out of the legislature. So, I mean, I guess the main hope for those people that are being affected by these big premium increases is that Congress actually acts on it. So.
Somehow or another, we have to get after the cost of health care. I think that these rising costs are there are multiple factors, including higher expectations as we go on in society, you know, as we go through the years of what the medical system can do for someone. But one way or another, we have to get our hand around the cost because both at the federal level and the state level, it's becoming the largest part of the budget. And it's not just at some point, I don't know that it's sustainable. Perhaps we'll see some of those costs. We have demographic shifts, and we're still those people, the baby boomers born in 1946 to 1964, at a time where they're requiring more healthcare, so maybe some of the cost will come down as that demographic moves along. But one way or another, we've got to get this under control. We can't keep going like this. We have a balanced budget at the state, but we don't at the federal level, and we're going to get to a point that the system's not going to work.
And you're on the Senate Committee on Health and Welfare, I believe.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
Education
you're not.
Committee.
What was that?
Education is my other
Education.
committee.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, what do you see coming up on education issues in the legislature? There was an awful lot of, debate and eventually an approval of, I think, $50 million last year for basically a voucher program for students that aren't in the public school system. Is that going to come back up? Would that allocation be likely to increase or decrease, or
I don't see
what's
that amount changing because the program is just getting started with this tax cycle. So that $50 million is in the budget, and there's no argument for changing that at this point. And so I don't, and we're in tight financial conditions, so I don't see anyone trying to raise that. We also have the Supreme Court hearing of the challenge to that bill, the House Bill 93 of 2025. That will be going before the Supreme Court to test the constitutionality just in a few weeks, and so that has the potential to change what's going on with that program too. Other efforts in education, I think you'll see. I'll be working with the State Superintendent of Public Instruction again
Debbie
on our
Critchfield,
funding
yeah.
for. Yes, Debbie Critchfield will be working with Superintendent Critchfield on the funding formula, how we send out the state money to our schools. We were working last year to try and give some more discretionary, discretion to the school districts to spend some of the money to meet their local needs, because we just know that one size doesn't fit all. And so we'll work toward that again. And that's the first step in doing a better job of sending the money to follow the student as compared to just sending the money to an institution with a certain classroom size. We'll try and we'll better hone in how we support every student here in Idaho.
Okay, we only have a few minutes left now. What would you identify as other issues that your constituents up here in northern Idaho ought to keep an eye on?
The homeowners exemption is where I'm really interested in working on. So working to try and raise the homeowners exemption with a number of other legislators. We had you've seen these income tax cuts come year after year, and for the person who's trying to figure out affordability in Idaho, that income tax reduction really doesn't make that much of a difference. But a homeowners exemption, if we could get the homeowners exemption back to toward the original intention of the Citizens Initiative from 1982 that created the homeowners exemption. In that Citizens Initiative, that people put forth a system where half the value of your home was not taxed. Now, if you had a really an above market value home, an expensive home, the exemption is capped at 50% of value, assessed value. But for most people, they were able to have half the value of their home not taxed. And today, the homeowner's exemption is $125,000 for the cap. And we know that across the state, the median value of a home is about $480,000. And in Bonner County, the median value of a home is $679,000 when I looked a month or two ago. So
We know that
we know that. And so
paper
with the
where housing
homeowner's
is so expensive, yeah.
exemption, yes, with a cap set at $125,000, we are nowhere near providing a home, letting you have your home, the half the value of your home not being taxed. So we need to get after that. We'll push on that. That's always a challenge. You can look back through. I've just recently read through 70 years of history on a homeowner's exemption, and that it's always a challenge between. There are four categories of assessment in Idaho. That's real estate, and that's home or residential, commercial, timber, and ag. So anytime one category of those four, if we change the taxable value in one category, then it moves some of the burden to another category. But it's been moving to residential for many, many decades, and we have to figure out how to allow people two different scenarios: the young home buyer who with a mortgage and they're trying to make that mortgage payment, and part of it is property tax. The other scenario, of course, the person who's worked all their life and has paid off their home, and now they're trying to figure out how to be able to afford their home just because of the high property taxes. So we've got to get this figured out. It's a decades long problem. We've never figured out a really good solution, but the one we can work on right now is to raise the homeowner's exemption.
As an absolute amount, what would that be? if not hinged to the, half the value of a home.
Well, the folks I'm working with, some of the folks would like to go right to $250,000 right now. That's a quick shift. My original thought was raise it maybe tens of thousands, but do that a number of years in a row. So we'll see what we come up with as a group and what we want to try, because there are always lobby groups that are ready to oppose that. We're working for the homeowner, and really the homeowners of Idaho are one of the few groups in Idaho that don't have a lobby group. You only have their representatives and senators working for them. So we'll be ready for a battle on that one.
Okay, we are almost out of time. Do you want to squeeze in one more thing you see coming up before the legislature?
Well, one other that I really want to push on, and we're going to work with Idaho State Patrol. We have got to be more competitive in what we're paying our troopers, especially in our district in the northern end of the state. We don't have enough troopers, and that's simply because the positions are there and the people are not, because we're not competitive. So we'll again work on trooper pay for the Idaho State Patrol troopers that are out there protecting us every day.
Well, Senator Jim Woodward, thank you for breaking out of. I know it's a busy day down there for you. If you want, do you want to hear from your constituents on things that are important to them? How would they get in touch with you?
You bet. Thank you, Chris, for that. So my contact information is on the legislative website, which is legislature.idaho.gov. But one of the that email address there is simply my name, J. Woodward, first initial and last name, J. Woodward at senate.idaho.gov. And then the other way to get a hold of us or speak with us is our monthly town hall. So we'll have a town hall at the last Saturday of every month. So coming up here, January 30th, we'll be in Bonners Ferry in the morning at 9, and then down to Sandpoint at the community hall at noon, and then over to Priest River in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. Yeah, so at the library, I believe. So we will be at three different locations on the last Saturday of January and February and March.
And that's you and Representative Mark Sauter, as I understand.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And our other representative, Cornell Razor, is he likely to take part, in these town halls?
And we've talked to him about it in the past, so we'll see if we can get him to come on over.
All right. Well, Senator Woodward, thanks so much. And, get after it down there for your constituents up here.
We will do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.